We're gonna encourage Ken, you know, and we're gonna all stand up and we're gonna welcome Ken as he brings the word of God. Come on, church, let's do that.
Praise God. It is a quiet afternoon this afternoon, isn't it? A little bit quiet. God, I think God wants to encourage us today, though. You know, he loves every one of us, even as if we're just one of us. And we think about God loving us collectively as a church, but when you think, he loves you individually. In all your situations, all your circumstances, all the battles that you have, he's actually there with you. 24 hours a day. When you were asleep at night, recovering from the day, he's still there with you. When you wake up in the morning, he's still there with you. It blows the mind. We can't understand it in the natural. And, you know, people that turn the back on the existence of God, they're missing out not only on eternity, they're missing out on the now. Because every moment of every day, you've got somebody to turn to. There's a lot of people that live on their own that haven't got God, and they don't know who to turn to. Well, you've got a Heavenly Father to turn to. You know, later on we're going to break bread together, and it's a special time because it's a real privilege the believer has to come. He says, "This is my body." Now, I know the Catholics believe it literally turns into flesh and blood, but they're missing the point. This is who Jesus is. When you take the bread, it's who Jesus is. When you drink the wine, it's who Jesus is. You've taken in the reality of who he is. Now, I want to share something about a man who had quite a traumatic time at one stage of his life. It's Paul the Apostle. Now, we all know about Paul. He was quite a firebrand. He sought to destroy the church. Because this body of believers that had started, they called them the Way, or Christians, or whatever, he thought they were a bad lot. They weren't in the established church that existed then. They were outcasts from that. But this man Jesus had come along, he'd revolutionized the church. Not the building, not the synagogue people, the church, you and me. 2,000 years ago, the you and me of then, he revolutionized them. And one man, Paul, he was out to get these people and to destroy them. He was on a mission. Now, he must have been a very single-minded person. Because he went, he determined to destroy what they called the Gentiles, the Christians, the Jews of the day, the believers that had cottoned on to Christ. Now today you're seeing a certain amount of hostility to the Christians. You're seeing it in this day and age. But then the man Paul and his associates were out to kill and destroy, collect them in, wrote them in. He got letters of authority to go to different places. But there came a day when Paul, he was in the midst of this, going to destroy these people, going around the countries, searching these people out. And God stopped him in his tracks. One moment of time, God just stopped him. He was on his way somewhere and God spoke to him in such a way that he couldn't ignore God. And he stopped. And for a while, Paul was blind. You know, he was led somewhere because he couldn't see. Something really traumatic had happened to Paul. And the thing was that God had stopped him and challenged him. He says, "Why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me?" And from that confrontation with God, Paul completely changed. He completely changed from who he was as a hater of God's people. In fact, it was such a big transformation, even the believers were a bit suspicious whether it was genuine. But God told him, he says, "You are a chosen instrument of mine." Now we sort of wrap this up in a parcel as being Paul 2,000 years ago. But each one of us, God has stopped us in our tracks and said to each one of us, "You are a chosen instrument of mine." God is saying that to you. Where you live, in your families, in your workplace, in your social life, in your ambitions, in all the feelings that you have, God's telling you, you are a chosen person. He's chosen you. And he's chosen you, like Paul, to bear his name to the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles of the day were the unbelievers, the one that didn't believe. Well, we've a society full of people that don't believe. So the potential is great for you and me to actually change the surroundings around us, whether it's within our family and whether it's further afield. But God has set us in place where we are, in the communities we are, to change things. And if we sort of sit and just drift along, then we're missing what God wants. When God saved you, God was challenging you, not only to turn your life around, but make a difference. Now, when we make a difference, things change. We can make a difference for good, but we can also make a difference for bad as well. So, we've got to decide if our life is really in God. Because if it is, then we've got to make a difference by the way we live, by the way we act, by our attitudes. Paul was transformed. He was transformed in quite an extreme way. If you've read about the story of Paul, it's quite a traumatic thing he went through. The fact that he was so changed, and he started going in a different direction, gave him a whole new set of values. But quite often, like us, when we become a Christian, he had a but. When Paul came to start serving God, he had what the Bible calls a thorn in the flesh. Something in his personality, something within him that prevented him from doing what he felt called to do. It was a thing that they don't really know what this thorn in the flesh was, but there are some indicators. But the thorn in the flesh, it was sort of saying, "Well, I can't do what I need to do, or I'm not equipped to do. And look at my past. You know, he'd killed Christians, he'd killed believers, and now he's become a believer himself." But there's some clues to what Paul's thorn in the flesh might have been. In Corinthians, it tells you about the thorn in the flesh. You can read it at some time in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But a couple of chapters before that, in chapter 10, he's actually penning these letters that he wrote in the New Testament, letters to the Corinthians and others. And he says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 9 and 10, he says, his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech is contemptible. Now this is a man that God's handpicked in such an extreme conversion, and he's admitting now that his personal presence is unimpressive. So he's not a man to be that you'd notice or be drawn to. He says in his speech is contemptible. Now that word contemptible is quite an extreme word. You know, it means it's absolute rubbish. His speech is the way he talks, how he talks, or his confidence, his speech, and everything. He was just absolute rubbish. And this is a man who's got to go and spread the word of God throughout the nations. Chapter further on, he mentions that, he says, but even if I'm unskilled in speech, he isn't even a skilled speaker. How is he going to get the message of God across? Now, at that point in time, with all that, he could have said, well, I can't do it because I'm not equipped. I can't do it because I can't talk. I can't do it because I just haven't got the communication ability. Right at the beginning of Corinthians, in Corinthians 1, chapter 2, he says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. So he wasn't a confident person. He had all sorts of confidence while he was pursuing the church, but that must have been fueled by hatred. Now, he was in a different mindset altogether. But something happened that made a big difference. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament, there were a man called Moses in the Old Testament. Moses had a similar problem. Moses was stuck in this same mindset that Paul had faced. Moses said, I've never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. This is Moses. Now Moses, as you know, led the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. But Moses had a confidence problem. Moses had a real confidence problem. He couldn't speak, he couldn't express himself, so much so that God got angry with him. And he says, now then, go, and I will be with you, will be with your mouth, and teach you what you are to say. Now you think that would be enough to get Moses up and running, but it wasn't. Even that didn't get Moses moving. God had to then appoint Aaron, his brother, to be his mouthpiece. So Paul's not the first one that's had this issue. But Paul was a different mindset to Moses. Because God spoke to Paul, I suppose in an encouraging way, like he spoke to Moses. But he says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Something happened God spoke to Paul in the situation he is. Now, Paul, God didn't sort the business of his thorn in the flesh out. He didn't heal him or deliver him from it. Instead, he says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." God spoke to Paul's heart and said, "It doesn't matter about your problems. It doesn't matter about your sickness or your or whatever." He says, "I'm going to use you, and I'm going to use you in the way I want to use you." Now, if Paul had gone the same way as Moses did, it would still have been umming and ahhing, but he didn't. Paul decided to go for it. Now, if Paul had not made the decision that God's grace was sufficient for him, half of the New Testament would not exist. Because a lot of it is what the letters that Paul wrote. So half of the New Testament would not exist. The early church would have been severely hampered because Paul was the one that went to the different countries telling people about Jesus. Telling people about the love of Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again, that he is the Son of God. And Paul went all over the place. And he knew that there was going to be trouble at the end of his life for him personally. He knew he was going to be in bonds. He knew that he would be eventually lose his life because of his service to God. But that did not stop him. And we never hear again about his thorn in the flesh. Never hear again about him. But you look at where he went. You see, Paul had a knowledge, a head knowledge, but he also had a heart knowledge of who he was in Christ. And that took him beyond himself. Although he got problems in the natural, in terms of communication and how he spoke and how he conducted himself in terms of personality, there was something beyond that that God had got hold of. And God took him further than he would have been able to go himself. God took him into ground that was good ground. God taught him how to share himself with others, share the love of God with others, and how to pen it down, how to write it down. That transformed the whole of the early church. But Paul went from that beginning of God calling him. And we can often be stuck in this position of having a thorn in the flesh. There's all sorts of things can be thorns in the flesh. Relationships, health, confidence, physical ability, mental ability. There's so many things can be thorn in the flesh that could hold us back, that we could use to hold us back. But God says, "I've got something for you to do." And he speaks to each one of us and says to each one of us, "I've got something for you to do." You might think that today you're just filling a seat in the church. Well, you are. But that's not what God's called you to do. God's called you to live 7 days a week. He's called you to live among other people. He's called you to share the word of God with each other, the love of God with each other. And I know in this area, I'm not sure who was talking to me the other week, telling me that a large proportion of the community are Hindu worshippers. So they need to know the love of Jesus. And you say, well, how do I tell them? Well, you don't necessarily have to tell them. You might have to show them. Show them by your life. Show them by your joy. Show them by your commitment. Show them by your generosity to them. You know, we live in an area where, what they call Jehovah's Witnesses come round. I don't know whether you've heard of Jehovah's Witnesses, but they come round door to door every so often, and they try to get converts to be Jehovah's Witnesses. They get a lot of hostile reactions, but not at our house. They don't get a hostile reaction. I'll tell them who I am. I'll tell them who I believe in. I tell them who my Saviour is. I tell them I've got a future and a hope. And they have no answer to that. First of all, they're not used to getting anything, probably but a hostile or indifferent reception. But when you tell them about Jesus, it's something that they struggle with. But it's the only way they're going to know is to tell them. When Jesus sent out the disciples, he sent them out two by two, here, there and everywhere. He sent them out to tell people who he was. And we're in a generation now, there's not a lot of people here to tell who he is. And a lot of the people out there have a head knowledge, because we have been a Christian country. You see all the churches in the towns and the villages, a lot have been converted to this, that and the other now, but we're here as witnesses to Jesus, not Jehovah's Witnesses. We are witnesses to the love and power of Jesus, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, the reality of who he is. So this afternoon is something of a challenge. Have you got a thorn in the flesh that's keeping you from serving God, that's keeping you from launching out in God? Because God wants you to take you beyond it. I'm not going to say he's going to take that thorn in the flesh away. He didn't for Paul. But he wants to take you further than where you are. He wants to take you into the community. He wants to take you to your family. He wants to take you to your friends. He wants to take you in the workplace. And show people who Jesus is. By how you live. By how you act. We often think that we're very much on our own. We're very much alone sometimes. You know, we can live on an estate where we might be the only Christians. But what about the people that live next door to you? You don't have to go around preaching to them, but you show them the love of God in a number of ways. Just talk to them, share with them. You know, invite them. Show them that you're human beings with a warmth and a love that God's put into your life and heart that you can share with others around. Paul, in his writings to the Hebrews, gives some instruction to them. He tells them to run with endurance the race that's set before them. You know, sticking with it can be quite difficult. As a Christian, sticking with it when everybody else is going a different way can be quite a challenge. It's easy sometimes to go with the majority and drift into the same things that everybody else is in. But Paul says, run with endurance the race that God has put you in. God has set you in a race. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't be looking to the things around you. Don't be looking to your intellect for all the answers. Look to God for the answer. Keep your focus on Him. Because Jesus is the one with all the answers. He'll meet your needs. You know, when you're laid in bed at night sometime and you can't get to sleep because there's all sorts of things running around in your head, just turn to Jesus. Just turn to Him. Tell Him that you love Him. Just rest in His presence. And probably before you know it, you'll be off to sleep. Because Jesus is there with you, in your situation, wherever it might be. He tells us to keep pressing on towards the goal. You know, there's a nice psalm, proverb rather, beginning of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24 to 26. I've just written it down in here. It says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And when it says, for the Lord will be your confidence, in my Bible, it also gives you alternate words. It says, for the Lord will be at your side. So, whatever situation you're in, whatever feelings you get, and sometimes fears rise up, God says, I'm at your side, I'm your confidence. Whether it's in the day or in the night, wherever you might be, Jesus says, I'm there, I'm there. And like Paul, he could have made different decisions, and he could have made an easy decision to opt out and not run with it. Daniel could have made an easy decision to opt out and run away. And his situation after 3 years now would have been a lot different had he made that other decision. But Daniel, he said, I'm going with this, I'm running with this. And it wouldn't have been easy. He will have had challenges along the way. But he stuck with it. And God is blessing him. God is guiding him and leading him. And he'll lead each one of us if we give him chance. He'll take us through, sometimes he'll take us through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, but he'll bring us out the other side. He'll take us through the difficult situations, he'll bring us out the other side. He'll face us with challenges. Paul had that initial challenge, but he must have had much more challenges as well. He says he was, what was it, 39 lashes a number of times, shipwrecked 3 times. This was all in the service of God, because he loved God so much. He got hold of something in his heart that he would never let go of. Have you got hold of Jesus in your heart, never to let go? It's important that you grasp it in here. The heart, when we say the heart, we mean who you really are. Not the little machine that goes tick, tick, tick. It's who you really are. Have you got Jesus in there? Is he your saviour, no matter what? We can always say, I love Jesus, when the weather's fine and we're happy and everything's going nice. But there are times when it's difficult, times when it's hard. We need to say, I love you, Jesus, then. You can cry out for help to him then, and he'll be there. And he'll take you through whatever situations. We don't need to be a superman, but we need to trust Jesus. We need to know him. And we need to realize that we don't have to have everything healed before God can use us. Paul didn't. Paul went on and became a mighty warrior in the early church. One of the things he said was forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. He says, I press towards the goal for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing towards the goal? You know, sometimes we get to Sunday and we've had a busy week and we just sit down and to get our breath back. That's fine. God will revive us. But don't lose your enthusiasm for Jesus. Don't lose that enthusiasm that you have for him, because it will take you through the difficult times. When we come round the table this afternoon and take communion, it's a special time because you're meeting with God. I know that we share the bread with each other. But first of all, we need to have that contact with him. That is our real power contact point. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. It was a particular personal instruction. So we need to reach out to him as we take the bread and say, Jesus, I'm here. I'm here. And Jesus will touch you, he'll come in. He says he'll come in and sup with you. He loves you beyond anything that we can understand. Our love is imperfect, but his love is perfect. He wants the best for you. Every day, in your family, in your personal life, in your relationships, in your work, everything. God wants to be there. And you know, we talk often to young people that they're setting out on life and they've got involved with drugs and other things. And one of the illustrations to use to tell them about Jesus, he says, ask them, where have you been sourcing your decisions out in life? Where have you been getting your answers from for what you should do and how you should live? And often they don't know, it will be friends or their own intellect. Well, I know somebody to come to source your decisions from in life. His name's Jesus. You come to him and start asking him for your direction in life. And he'll change your direction. He'll make it a good direction. And like Daniel now, 3 years on, he's in a different place because he made decisions that changed his directions. And he went to Jesus for those decisions. And there's others too have made decisions to follow Jesus. And it's changed where you're going. It's changed your direction. And it transforms your life. There's so many people following Jesus that we don't see them. We don't really hear them. We don't hear about them on the news because to the world it's not newsworthy. But in the kingdom of God, there's rejoicing over every saved person, every saved soul. So if you've got that thorn in the flesh that's been bugging you, it's stopping you from doing what God wants you to do, don't let it stop you. Just grasp hold of God and run with him and let him take you where he wants to take you. And you'll see miracles happening in your own lives and in the lives of those around you. Hallelujah. Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad you know Jesus? It's wonderful, isn't it? Just the world can't grasp hold of it. Because the science tells them the how, but it doesn't tell them the why. They keep digging further into science and finding these different things, and but they still haven't found the question why. They've not answered the question why. Well, Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the reason. That's what it's all about. He's our future. He's our present too. So I just pray you've been encouraged this afternoon. And just let yourself run with God. Let yourself run with Him. Because He's got safe arms. He'll never let you fall. He's got hold of you. And we can tell you testimonies of how God has kept us in difficult times. He's brought us in good times and blessed us. And you see now, we're in this new building, new to us, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge. But there's so much potential. So much potential for us as Christians to share the love of God. But praise God, we're going to come round God's table in a minute, but I think first of all, we need to respond to what Jesus is telling us. I don't know what your situation is, what your life is, the challenges you face. But God might be challenging you this afternoon to not be loaded down with the thorn in the flesh, but reach out to Him and go with what He says, go with His potential. So let's just bow our heads a minute. Lord Jesus, we thank You, Father, for Your love and for Your care. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You know every minute detail about us, Lord. And Lord, You know the thorns in the flesh in our lives. You know the things that hold us back. You know the things that we struggle with. But Lord, Your love is greater than that, Lord. What do You call Paul? Lord, his thorn in the flesh was not a thing to hold him back. And Lord, as we come, Lord Father, to You now, Lord, we ask You, Lord Father, to help us see beyond the things that would draw us back. Lord, help us, Lord Father, just to see You this afternoon. And Lord, we just want to say, Lord, we love You. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. And Lord, we want to respond to You this afternoon. And Lord, Father, as Paul made a decision that he would stand for You, no matter what, even if it meant him costing him his life, he would stand for You. And Lord Father, we come this afternoon, Lord, in faith, Lord, believing, Lord, that is what we want, Lord, just to stand with You no matter what. And Lord, I stand, Lord, here, Lord, because I love You, I thank You, Lord, and I praise You. Lord, You brought me this far, and Lord, I want to stand with You. And Lord, I just, Lord, ask Your Father to take me beyond myself, beyond my natural capabilities. I just want to come with You, Lord, wherever You want to take me, Lord. Thank You in Jesus' name. Lord, for each one this afternoon, Father, help them, Lord, Father, to make their decisions this afternoon to follow You, Lord, no matter what. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord.